Welcome to Reinventing You. I'm your host, Danielle Silverman. I believe that in today's world of ever-constant evolution, the only career change that matters is when what you do matches who you are and what you believe. This show is where you'll learn how embracing change and reinventing yourself will help you navigate any disruptions and lead a life of happiness and fulfillment, especially in this ever-changing world. Your purpose and your meaning will drive your personal transformation. As I like to say, it's your vision, your life. Be passionate about it. Reinventing You starts now. It's not what you know, it's who you know. How often have you heard that being said? Over and over and over again. It brings up all kinds of feelings, doesn't it? I mean, how does it make you feel when you hear that? It's not what you know, it's who you know. It smacks of somebody getting to the top on someone else's coattails, sometimes not in a very ethical way. Sometimes, you know, it has a negative connotation. And maybe some people think that there is some sort of injustice in knowing somebody that will help you get to the top. And that's sort of what we're, well, not really what we're going to talk about today, but I wanted to start with that quote because we hear it so often. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Now contrast that with a quote from Margaret Wheatley, which goes, "Relationships are all there is. Everything in the universe only exists because it is in relationship to everything else. Nothing exists in isolation. We have to stop pretending we are individuals that can go it alone." Hello, and welcome to Reinventing You, a podcast about how to reinvent your career. I'm your host, Danielle Silverman, and today we're going to be exploring the art and science of networking. In my 19 years as a career coach, every time I've mentioned the word networking to a client, I get a strange look on their face. I see a strange look on their face. Let me tell you about Sally. Sally was a client I had a few years ago. She'd lost her job, and she was extremely worried. She felt that she would never be able to find another job again, even though she was only 43. But you know, Sally's story could have been somebody in their 30s or somebody in their 50s. The story is the same. She was worried. She was frustrated. She was angry. She didn't know what to do. So the first thing we did together was boost her self-confidence and get her ready for the job market. And then I introduced the N-word, networking. And she went, "Oh my God, I can't network. I mean, I'm an introvert. I'm a shy person. I can't do that." And that's what I get from everybody, whether they're introverted or not. They're scared about the word networking because they think they're going to have to ask for a job and they're worried they're going to get a rejection. Well, that's not what networking is. Networking, in fact, is not about business talks or small talk, although people will tell you that there is some small talk involved. And it is not, definitely not, about asking for a job. As a matter of fact, the other day I was having coffee with a friend, and that friend said to me, "You know, Danielle, I don't want to network because I'm afraid of asking people for a job. I'm afraid that, you know, they'll just let me down." And I think that's the key. People believe that they have to ask for a job. And if there's no job to be had, then of course the answer is going to be no, it's going to be a rejection. So the idea about networking is to remove that from your mind completely. Networking is not about asking for a job. But it is about making real connections with real people who share your interests, your goals, your vision, your values. How do you do that? Well, you do that by getting to know people. And that's, you know, why is it important even to go out and meet people? Well, because opportunities come from people. As Margaret Wheatley said, you cannot go it alone in this world. It means being open to new possibilities, to, who knows, maybe even having your dream job. It means collaborating with other people on a project or in a team, wherever. And it also means helping you or finding someone who can help you achieve your goals. Imagine for a minute you were moving to a new city, someplace you'd never been before, where you don't know anybody else. What do? You just sit there, you go to work, you come home. Without anything, yes, you'll meet people at work, some people you may have common interests with or not, but your circle remains very small. So what could you do in your spare time? Well, I know that when I moved to Ottawa, which is Canada's capital city, I knew one or two people there, actually, and they lived very, very far away. And the thing is, I was working on a contract for the Canadian government, and government work ends at 3:30 in the afternoon. What was I going to do for the rest of my time? Well, I discovered that a few blocks away, there was a theater, and I happened to love theater. So I went there and I decided to volunteer, just handing out programs or taking tickets. And eventually I got involved in the life of the theater, working front of house, taking courses there, and eventually even going on stage. Well, not everybody has to do that. The other thing I did was get a dog and go to the park that was across the street, and I met lots of people there. Some people take language courses or art classes or bridge lessons or yoga, whatever it is. You do something to not just learn about that thing, but also to meet people, to get to know people, because you're in a foreign place that you don't know. And it is through these people that you get to know other people. And that's the whole point of networking today. Now, some people tell me, oh, isn't networking a thing of the past? Do we really have to do that? Well, you know, it is absolutely more relevant today than ever before. It requires a combination of technical skills, of creativity, and emotional intelligence. So, for example, creativity. Think about different ways in which you can meet people. Think about another thing that makes people cringe, creating an elevator pitch. What is an elevator pitch? An elevator pitch is a 30-second spiel about who you are and what you do and what you would like. So when we talk about an elevator pitch, it's an introduction about who you are. When you meet somebody for the first time, they'd say to you, what do? And you have to tell them something, right? So it's about thinking out of the box about what it is that you do. Something that it will be unique to you and not just, you know, I'm a project manager, but something that makes you distinctive about being a project manager. Maybe it's about project management in a specific field or in a specific area, working with certain people. Or maybe you've discovered something particularly interesting about what makes you good at project management, and that's what you talk about in your introduction. So it's thinking out of the box. That's what being creative is sitting down and not just saying what everybody else is saying. It's about having a conversation with people. And in that conversation, it has to be natural. In the conversation, you tell stories also. You tell stories about yourself. The other person will tell stories about themselves. You describe a project. You can share a personal story. You listen to their stories. This is also a part of being creative. And it's part of meeting people for the first time or the second time. Another thing that is important and that makes networking an art is practicing certain things. So, for example, looking for social cues, what is it that's going on in the environment you're in that tells you what's going on? Like when you walk into a room, where are people standing? What are you hearing? What sort of lighting is there in the room? Is there music in the room? That sort of thing. And reading from people when they're standing together, are they shaking hands? Are they, giving themselves an elbow greeting? In today's world, that's relevant. The other thing is to learn from your mistakes. So you walk into a room and you said something, or you didn't recognize someone. You learn from your mistakes. You learn from what not to do. If you didn't read a particular social cue, if somebody was very closed off and like this, and you're in their face, like really not respecting their personal space, and the person is backing up and you're going, oh, what's going on? What did I do? What did I say? Be aware of that. Have the emotional intelligence to be aware of that and recognize that, oh, okay, that was the wrong thing to do. I'll have to watch more carefully next time. Though it may be obvious when somebody is walking away from you, but not so obvious at other times. Just think about it. And the other thing you can do is adapt to the other person's style. So if the other person is smiling, you adapt and smile as well. If the other person is shaking hands, well, that might be an issue today, but you can think about it ahead of time. Do you want to shake hands? If you don't want to shake hands, what do you want to say about it? But and adapting to people's way. Are they standing? Are they sitting? Are they laughing? Are they smiling? It's important to have rapport with every person that you come in touch with, whether you end up being in a relationship. And that, when I say relationship, I don't mean it has to be an amorous relationship. Any kind of react re relationship between people is a relationship. So whether you end up being a lifelong friend, or whether you end up meeting that person just for one particular event or a series of events, or going to school with them or working with them, you're going to meet a wide, wide range of people. And the important thing is, when you meet all these people, there are some people you're going to click with right away. And that's fantastic. You click with them, the conversation is smooth. You feel as if you've pretty much known each other forever, and that's a fantastic thing. And you know what? That happens more often than not. But occasionally, you'll meet somebody, the conversation was not so easy. You didn't click right away. That's okay too. So what do? You shrug your shoulders, you move on to the next person, and maybe the next person will be easier to talk to. You don't have to be friends with everybody. It's not a contest. No one size fits all. It's about building the relationship over the long term. It's about understanding human behavior. It's also about being a good listener. People really appreciate being a good listener, having a good listener. And as I said, if it's not a good fit, move on. Do something else. And networking is also a very scientific way of looking at things, because it's about how do you inform yourself about building the relationship, about building the rapport with people and your approach to people. As I said, building a pitch, what you're going to say to the person. It's also about experimentation. So you try one way of introducing yourself one time. You can try another way of introducing yourself another time. You can even ask people, how did that resonate with you? What do you think would be better? I'm trying this stuff. It's okay. You're human. You're not a robot, and you're not supposed to get things perfect every single time. Again, it's not about asking for a job. It's not about being in an interview, even. It's just about meeting people, getting to know them, getting to understand who they are, and you understanding who they are and they understanding who you are. It's a two-way street. So what else can you do? You can attend events. There are many different ways of reaching out to meet people, from networking events to workshops to associations that you belong to, you may belong to. And each one of those is a different way of connecting with people. Another way in which networking is a bit more scientific is that it helps you gather data. Very often it says, and in particular when I did executive coaching, executive career coaching, it was a question of numbers. So the more people you met with, the closer you came to landing that job. Again, not everybody would be able to make it, but you would keep track. We would actually have a spreadsheet where people would keep track of who they were talking to, whether it was a hiring manager or an HR person or a recruiter, executive recruiter, and they would keep track of everything. And at the bottom, they would keep hold of their numbers. And we knew that when they reached a critical number, that's when the job offers came in. Again, it's just about meeting people. It's just about telling them your goals, your vision, what you're good at. But remember, it is quality, not quantity. It's about building trust and rapport over the long term. So we talked about the art of networking, the science of networking. How do you start? The first thing is to know yourself really, really well. So, what is your vision? I'd leave you with one question for that. What kind of world do you want to live in? That is the most important question you can ask yourself when you're looking for your vision. What kind of world do you want to live in? Everything else comes down from there. So your mission, for example, is how does what you do work towards that vision? That's your purpose. As Simon Sinek says, that's your why. The other thing, so your vision, your mission or purpose, your goals. I read in a book somewhere this week, someone quoted, "A goal is a dream without a deadline." I found that absolutely beautiful. A dream. So the first thing you have to do is look inside. Find your passion. Absolutely find your passion. Think about that. Journal about it. Write about it. Read about some of the things that you are interested in, and you'll see pretty soon what your vision of the world is and what you want to do to work towards that vision. Now, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like, I want peace in the world, okay? But I'm not going to be a negotiator at the UN. I'm not going to be on the front lines, negotiating peace treaties. But I will want to make sure that people are absolutely happy in their jobs. Because fundamentally, I believe that if people are happy, then there will be more peace in the world. Big vision. My purpose is small. And somebody else's person purpose could be very, very different, but for the same vision. The other thing you can do is look outside. Looking outside means asking people what they think. Create a personal board of advisors that you can go to and ask feedback from or advice from. Put your goals to paper and think about them. Review them regularly. Talk to your board of advisors on a regular basis. And keep working at it, keep changing, keep reinventing what it is that you do. Keep what is good, what you know is good, and what doesn't work, you put it aside and you try something else. That's what experimentation is all about. And that's the world we live in because there is so much change in the world. That's what we have to do today. So you try one way of networking. You didn't enjoy it? Fine, move on to another way. That's okay. Experiment, experiment, experiment. The idea is to expand your circle and to connect your circle with somebody else's circle. So you widen your circle, but you're also collaborating on a very basic level. Today, We talked about, I've talked about in previous podcasts, we don't talk about competition anymore. We talk about co-opetition, which is cooperating with your competition, collaborating with your competition. So if people are in the same field as you are, doesn't mean they're going to go after the same job. And even if they do, well, what have they learned from their process? And what can you learn from them? How can you help them? It works two ways. So I talked a little bit before about networking not being about small talk. Well, you still have to find some points of conversation, some commonalities in the conversation that you're going to be saying. So the first thing I would say is smile. It's the most important thing is to smile. And even if you're on the phone with somebody, smile. Because believe it or not, that smile is transmitted across the telephone line or the internet line or the big World Wide Web. People can hear when you're smiling. They can hear when you're not smiling. I'm not smiling right now, and I think you can tell the difference between when I'm smiling, when I'm not smiling, and when I'm smiling. It makes a big difference. So that's number one. Number two, maintain eye contact. Very important to maintain eye contact. And I know that in certain cultures, that's very frowned upon or difficult. So you have to be aware of that. You have to be aware of the cultural norms in certain countries, in certain cultures. You can nod when you're listening to people because it's an indication that you are listening. You can lean in when you talk to people. It is also an indication that you are interested in what they're saying. You adjust to the speed or to what they're saying. And if you're really worried about all of that stuff, there are two things that I recommend. One is something I took somewhere at the beginning of my career. My company sent me to a Dale Carnegie course. Now, Dale Carnegie wrote a book about how to make friends and influence people back in the 1930s. It was a big hit. He had a course at university, huge, huge hit. And he's passed, but his legacy lives on, and that course is still being offered pretty much everywhere in the world. The other thing that I would recommend is join a Toastmasters group. Toastmasters is an international organization. It's everywhere around the globe. And what it does is help people speak in public. A lot of people are afraid of networking because they're afraid of talking in public. I'm not talking about getting on stage necessarily, but it's about understanding how to speak pe to people without saying, maybe every other word, right? And finally, I really want you to understand that people love to talk about themselves. So I went on an interview once at the beginning of my career. It was an internal posting for sales. And I remember the interview was scheduled for half an hour. And I was there for an hour and a half. And at some point, I was speaking with the vice president of sales. And at some point, I found what he was saying so interesting that I was somehow moved to ask him, how did you get to your position as VP of sales? And so he told me. He told me the story, and we went on, and the conversation continued, as I said, for an hour and a half. And I did get the job. After I got the job, he came up to me and he said, "You know why I hired you?" Well, no idea. I was 28 years old. What did I know? He said, "I hired you because you asked me that question. How did you get to your position?" Because in a sales position, you have to be curious about people. You have to ask questions. And it's about a conversation. It's about being natural. It's not about pushing, especially today. We don't push sales. There are no used car salesmen here anywhere. It's about having people come to you. It's about having that rapport, building that rapport. So that's very important when you talk about networking. It's about having that rapport. I know for sure that the more complex the world becomes and the faster the change happens, the harder it is to make it alone. So let go of your script. Be authentic. That's the best advice I can give you. Be authentic, be real. Ultimately, networking is about what I call three things. One, it's about information. So it's about research. Think about it as research, not about asking for a job. It's about learning about a particular person or a particular industry. So, for example, if you want to change careers, and that means changing industry, perhaps, it's the perfect opportunity to go and ask people, what is it like in your industry? How did you get into this industry? What do you like about it? What do you like about your job? What do you not like about your job? You're really just gathering information. You're doing research. You are not asking for a job. And so that takes away the stigma of networking. So you're gathering information. The second thing, sorry, I jumped the gun here. The second thing is interest, showing interest in other people. Like the example I told you of my interview for the sales job. People love, 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 love to talk about themselves. They do. So ask the questions, be curious, show interest in other people. And the other thing is remember that it's about interaction. It's a two-way street. So it's give and take. It's how can I help you? Because what if what you do is what the other person needs? And if you don't share that information, if you don't have that interaction, then you may lose an opportunity. The next thing to know is that most people, most organizations know about a job opening before it's ever advertised. So that means that if you meet somebody in the course of your interactions and they happen to have a job opening, you have a much higher chance of being hired then because you're there in front of the person who knows that that job is available. Once that job is posted online, there are literally thousands of people applying, or hundreds of people possibly applying. And how are you going to get through all that horde of people? So that's another advantage of networking. And it's also about where you meet people. You know what? You meet people everywhere. Do you remember the story I was telling you at the very beginning about my client, Sally? Well, we'll call her Sally, it's not her real name. She told me that she had a little dog. And people who have dogs would relate to this. When you go to a dog park, they know you as, your dog's, I'm Theo's mom. I'm not Danielle. I'm Theo's mom. So Sally went to this dog park and she met up with this person she met with every day at the same time. They were there at the same time together. And she knew him as Baxter's dad. And they got to talking, and she started saying how she was looking for a job and blah, blah. And so he asked her what she did. And he turned around and said, "You know what? I know somebody who does that. Would you like me to get you to put you in touch with him?" You know what? The rest is history. I kid you not, this is a true story. So it isn't about who you know, it's about where you are. It's about showing interest in the other person. It's about gathering information, and it's about having that interaction. I would love to hear your story. Let me know your thoughts. Connect with me. Do you want to stay in your home hiding, or do you want to be part of society? Do you want to be part of the world that interacts with others? By all means, drop me a note. I'm very interested in hearing your story, and I wish you all the very best, whether it's in your networking opportunities or any of your job search. I would love to hear about your experiences in that field. So my name is Danielle Silverman. This podcast is Reinventing You. If you want to know more, you can go to my website, reinventing-you.com, where you can fill out a form to get in touch with me. And I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, here's to your career reinvention. Thank you for listening to Reinventing You with me, your host, Danielle Silverman. Tune in on the second and fourth Monday each month at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and feel inspired and optimistic about your future. We only get one life, so embrace change and thrive with me. Find work that aligns best with your soul and what you enjoy. For more information, go to reinventingyou.com.